What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it is NBA playoff time, bitches. I know it's just a play-in that starts tomorrow on Tuesday night, but I'm sorry, play-in is just as exciting as playoff because actually the NBA play-in over the last couple of years, because, you know, they just started doing it, two, 3 years ago now. I mean, I think it's actually been good for the league. I think the games have been competitive for the most part. And for the Lakers, they were in the play-in the last 2 years, and they ended up going to the Western Conference Finals a couple years ago. So any team can do anything. So I'm looking forward to the play-in matchups that we have coming up this week. First, we're going to go ahead and start with the Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings for this week. And, the league's actually starting to take shape with some teams, but, you know, it's still the first 2 weeks of baseball, so we have a lot of baseball to go. So I feel like there's still a couple of teams in the Trop 10 that we're looking at, like, they're probably not going to stick around. But I will say, the National League West teams are just dominating the league right now. It is crazy, especially as a San Francisco Giants fan. Did not expect my team to actually be playing well right now. I'd say mediocre hopes for them. I didn't even really think they were making the playoffs. But hey, right now they're actually playing pretty well. Don't know how long it's going to last, but they're playing well. But not just them. Padres playing well. Dodgers not so well right now. But come on, if you don't think that team's going to be in the playoffs, you're dumb. And then the Diamondbacks also playing. They're starting to get better. Starting to take shape more, I guess, as a team. I mean, they have some pros and cons, I guess you would say. They really haven't been as consistent as San Diego, San Francisco, and the Dodgers, but they're going to be there, I think, all the way through. And then you got the Rockies, who are just terrible. So I don't think we're going to have to worry about them. But everybody else in the National League West right now is dominating, and they dominate my Trop 10 to start. So let's start with number one this week on my Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings. It is the San Diego Padres. Yes, yes, y'all. This is another team I'm like, huh? Not only are they dominating right now, they're 13-3, 7-3 in their last 10 games, but like they're kicking ass in every way, shape, and form. They're dominating with pitching, their bullpen's doing well, they're scoring a lot of runs, and defensively they look well. Their star players are stepping it up, their star pitchers are stepping it up. They are looking like a very complete team to start the season. Now it's the Padres. So who knows where we're going to be come playoff time, but this is a great start for them. This past week, they took the series over the Sacramento A's and the Colorado Rockies, and actually, they dominated the Rockies. The Rockies had one of their worst series in their history ever. I don't believe they scored a run in the series at all against the San Diego Padres. They either scored one or none. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it ended up being zero. But San Diego kicked their ass. And a big part is King, their pitcher, he has just been dominant every single time he's hit the mound. 3 wins on the season, 2.42 ERA and 24 strikeouts. And then Fernando Tatis Jr., he is lighting it up to start the season, batting at 3.51, 4 home runs and 9 RBI. Also playing crazy defensively as well. He's not the only one. Unfortunately, Jackson Merrill's on the injured list right now. But everybody else is just great. Machado, he's having a good start to the season. All their starting pitchers are Cease. He's having a good start to his season as well. So who knows if this is going to last all season, but this is a historic start for the San Diego Padres. Then at number two on my Trop 10 MLB Power Rankings, did not think this team would ever be this high this year, but here they are. Don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm going to take it. That would be my San Francisco Giants, 11-4 on the season. Great record. 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Cincinnati Reds. But damn, they actually took it to the Yankees this weekend. I was hoping it was just going to be close. And man, they kicked their ass. Well, I mean, not yesterday. It was the majority of the games were actually back and forth except for game one. Game one was straight up domination, but 2 and 3, they were back and forth, crazy games to watch. So very enjoyable. But Lee, our young-hoo Lee, he was, we picked him up last year. He's out of Korea, And so he's one of those Korean pitchers that you pick up through a contract. You usually, I think you buy him basically from the Korean team, and the teams all bid on him basically. And he ended up picking the Giants. And unfortunately last year, before he could really get going, he was injured. But this year, he's starting the season off hot. He liked playing in New York. I'll definitely tell you that much, because he had a couple of home runs in New York. But he's batting a .352 with 3 home runs and 11 RBI on the season. Looking really solid right now, especially offensively. The Giants are having zero issue scoring runs. I mean, they're getting guys on base. They're stealing bases. They're making the hits that they need to make. They're getting walk-off runs already. So they've run the gamut a lot with the offense. But the problem, which I think is going to end up being a problem down the line, is their starting pitching is not solid, at least not yet. I mean, everybody is pretty much getting blown up at some point in the game. Even Webb, he did not pitch a very solid game yesterday. He didn't get blown up, but he also didn't look like Logan Webb. And Verlander, he hasn't really had a standout game just yet. I know it's very early in the season still, but I look at the starting pitching, and I think that's probably going to end up being an Achilles heel at some point if they don't tighten that up. Then falling a few spots this week because they are playing like shit. But like I said, you can't act like this team's overrated. You can't say anything bad about this team just yet because it's very early in the season. But at number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings is the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 11-6, but 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Washington Nationals, who actually whooped that ass in a couple of those games in the matchups. And then they also lost a series to the Chicago Cubs. And Chicago Cubs actually handed the Dodgers their worst loss of all time at home. They lost 16-0 over the weekend. So that was pretty laughable and hilarious. Shohei Ohtani's been very quiet during this I guess you would call losing streak for the Dodgers. But I mean, really, I'm not convinced it's going to last. I just kind of feel like it's the beginning of the season, and there's teams that usually start out hot and then fall apart. And then there's teams that start out like shit and then put it together. And then there's also teams who start out like shit and don't put it together till the second half of the season. So we still got a lot of season to go, so I can't count out the Dodgers. But it was funny to just drop them this week, especially behind the Padres and the Giants, because they're behind them in the division too. So, haha, Dodgers. But they're probably going to, we're going to be looking up at them pretty soon here, I imagine. Then at number 4 in my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Chicago Cubs, overall record of 11-7. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Texas Rangers and the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they are killing it on the offensive side of the ball. As a matter of fact, right now they lead the league in runs with 116 runs, 116, and we're only 2 weeks in on the season. And they didn't really score many runs in those first 2 games of the season that they played in Japan against the Dodgers, so they basically had a head start, but it didn't matter because it didn't do much there. But they are having zero issue scoring runs right now. Their first baseman, Bush, he has been going off. He's batting .315 right now, and he's had a couple of he almost hit for the cycle the other day against the Dodgers in that 16-0 win. So they've got that going for them. Their starting pitching has been awesome as well. But unfortunately, Justin Steele, he is going to be done for the rest of the season. It looked like he was just going on the injured list for a couple of weeks, but turns out he's going to have the dreaded Tommy John surgery and will be done for the season, which is just shitty because he came right out the gate with 3 wins and was just mowing everybody down. But I think the Cubs will recover, though. They've got a lot of depth at the starting pitcher position, and they are having zero issues scoring runs, and they look really solid right now. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Mets, overall record of 10-5. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Miami Marlins, and they took the series over the Sacramento A's. And it's kind of funny because you would think Juan Soto, he would be why they are kicking ass right now. And actually, Juan Soto is not having a good start to his season. He's only batting in I think he's batting a .252, if I remember correctly. He's only got like 1 home run. Only a few RBI, I want to say it was 3-4 in that range. So not having Soto numbers, and I don't expect it to stay that way, of course, because he is the $700 million man for a reason. But it's kind of weird that the Mets are actually playing really well, and it's not because of him. It's actually because of good old Pete Alonso, the dude who has been with the Mets, riding and dying with the Mets for since he came up in the league. And he's batting a 321 with 4 home runs and 18 RBI, leading this team in all those categories. He is just kicking ass this season. I told you, the dude's playing for a contract next year, and he's making it known that a bunch of y'all overlooked me in the offseason. You better know that this is what you're missing out on. And he's why they're doing so well. I mean, their starting pitching is also phenomenal at this current point in time. I don't know how long it's going to last, because I look at some of their pitchers and I don't, you know, this McGill guy, is he going to be consistent? Is this just like, you know, he comes right out the gate and just has a solid start and then is going to fall off? Who knows? But the Mets are winning with solid pitching and Pete Alonso kicking some ass. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Detroit Tigers, overall record of 9-6. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the New York Yankees and the Minnesota Twins. Spencer Torkelson, he is just on fire to start the season, batting a 309 with 5 home runs and 11 RBI, finally starting to be the guy that they expected him to be. But also, this starting pitching lineup, as I expected, is just mowing them down. Now, Skubal has had a slow start to his season, but he finally got a win over the Yankees, and he dominated their asses. But Flaherty, he's having a great year. And then also Mize is having a great year as well. So right now the Tigers, they're scoring the runs, and their pitching is just mowing everybody down, and they're playing very consistent baseball. I thought they were actually going to pretty much dominate their division, but it actually looks like Cleveland's probably going to at least give them a run for their money, although I still think Detroit's going to win that division easily. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record of 8-7. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Detroit Tigers and lost a series to the San Francisco Giants. As I said to start the season, I felt like Paul Goldschmidt was going to be a huge pickup for the Yankees. A lot of people felt like he's washed up, past his prime. Now, he's definitely past his prime. But Goldschmidt's been probably one of the most consistent baseball players since he hit the league. When he was with Arizona, all he did was hit home runs. When he was with the Cardinals, all he did was hit home runs. Also, a lot of people forget how great of a first baseman he is. He is excellent defensively. He is a Gold Glove Award winner. So he is that type of dude. And I knew when he went to the Yankees, I didn't think he was going to be like a difference maker, like an Aaron Judge type player, or like he's not going to replace a Juan Soto, of course, in the lineup, but he's definitely going to step up when you need him. And actually, so far, he's been exactly that. Right now, he's batting a 357 with a home run and 8 RBI. So he's not blowing you out of the water with his numbers, but he's getting on base, and he's just, they're making it real difficult for you to start walking Aaron Judge at this point. Max Fried, their other pickup in the offseason, he has been having a great start to the season. Aaron Judge, of course, he is tied for the league lead with 6 home runs. So he's doing what he normally does. Volpe starting the season off pretty solid as well. So, you know, the Yankees are pretty much doing what they're doing. But for me, I felt like Goldschmidt was a great move for them, and so far he has proven that he is a great move for them. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 9-6. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Atlanta Braves and lost a series to the St. Louis Cardinals. Two guys on this team that have zero problems at this point in time are Kyle Schwarber and Castellanos. I did not write his name down. That's why I was like, what the fuck? I wrote his stats down, but I did not write his name down. But yeah, Schwarber and Castellanos, they have been having a great start to the season. Schwarber, like I said, he's usually doesn't have issues hitting home runs. He's actually been one of the top home run hitters since he hit the league. It's the batting average that I felt like he needed to improve upon, and he's still right up there in the high 200s right now with his batting average. So he's definitely improved in that area, at least for now, batting at 273 with 6 home runs and 12 RBI. And Castellanos, he's, over the years since he signed with the Phillies, he tends to start off cold and then get hotter as the season wears on. Not this year. He's batting at 291 with 2 home runs and 9 RBI, and these two guys have been the difference makers in this batting order, and they're going to be very difficult to pitch around when you got these two guys hitting it out of the park and getting on base, most importantly, because while, yes, home runs are very important, and you always want your dudes to hit home runs, just getting on base is just as important, because you need dudes to get on base to get runs. And the more guys on base, hey, the more chances you have at runs. And Schwarber and Castellanos are having zero issues doing that right now, especially Schwarber. It's crazy to see how much better he has got in just a year. And he's a seasoned vet, been doing this for a while, and he's improved his game, which is just great to see. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Boston Red Sox. Overall record of 8-9. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Toronto Blue Jays and lost a series to the Chicago White Sox. The Red Sox, they're kind of an up-and-down team to me. I put them here just because I do look at them. They have a solid offense. Some young guys on the come up, and then they also have a pretty solid starting pitching, especially with Crochet here, who pitched a gem against this old team, the Chicago White Sox, over the weekend. But right now he's got 2 wins on the season with a 1.38 ERA and 28 strikeouts, and he's really mowing them down. And he's pulling through for this team and really showing that he's well worth the trade and the money that they paid for him. It's just they haven't been as consistent, but I looking at all the teams right now with the first 2 weeks, it's hard to really, because the Blue Jays are actually technically on the top of the American League East right now, but you notice they're actually not, I don't have them above, even on the top 10, and I have the Yankees and Red Sox, and that's just because I think they're a better team, at least right now, but with the Red Sox, I think they just have a lot of depth, they have a lot of solid dudes. And just right now, they just had a bad week. And rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the Cleveland Guardians, because I've actually been, I would actually say typically surprised with them, because usually I count the Guardians out the last couple of seasons. But there they always are. Always right in at the top of their division. Usually win their division, and then there they are in the playoffs, and then magically they'll make the World Series, and you're like, what the fuck, how did Cleveland get here? And that's kind of how I feel about them at the beginning of this season, because I didn't really think they were going to be competitive in this division, because I didn't really like what I saw from their roster for the most part, at least to start the season, but here they are at 8-7, 6-4 in their last 10 games. As a matter of fact, they had the longest winning streak in the league going through the week, so they've been winning, and they've been winning in many different ways. This past week, they took the series over the Chicago White Sox and the Kansas City Royals, so those are 2 division foes, so those are series you need to win. Stephen Kwan is having a typical Stephen Kwan season, though. He's batting a .322 with 2 home runs and 8 RBI, but they also have this dude named Manzardo, who's really stepped it up as well offensively with 4 home runs and 11 RBI. Starting pitching, it's had its moments. I think that's going to end up being their issues at some point in the season. But, the Guardians, they just are a very solid baseball team. They just an organization that just knows how to win baseball. And they just are always there. I don't know why, but they're always there. And when I was doing I was looking over the standings and the stats, I'm like, I don't really have a reason to not put the Guardians in the top 10. They've actually been playing very well, very convincing baseball, and they aren't in a difficult division, really, outside of the Tigers. It does look like the White Sox are going to be slightly better than they were last year, which doesn't say a lot, but I just kind of feel like the Tigers are going to own the division, but the Guardians are definitely, at this point in time, going to make it interesting, to say the least. All right, so let's move on to the NBA playoffs, and we're going to talk about the NBA play-in matchups on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, but I'm also going to make my NBA playoff predictions as well, and tell you who I think is ultimately going to win it all. And I don't think I'm picking a typical matchup to win it all. As a matter of fact, I just, you know, when it comes to Oklahoma City and Cleveland, they are the two number one seeds in their respective divisions or the conferences. The Oklahoma City Thunder, of course, number one in the Western Conference, and have the home court all the way throughout. So if they get to the finals, you got to go through Oklahoma City. And then on the Eastern Conference side of things, the number one overall seed is the Cleveland Cavaliers. And while both of those teams have been excellent, consistent, amazing teams who have absolutely dominated the league, there's just something about those two teams that, as I'm watching, I haven't felt like I'm going to be watching the champion right here. I don't know why. I just kind of feel like at some point they're going to break apart at some point along this this playoff run here. And we'll just say my finals predictions, of course, have a little bit of fan bias in them, but at the same time, my team's pretty goddamn good, so I don't really have a reason to pick against them, and you know what? It's my fucking show, so I can do what I want. But let's start off with the play-in matchups. So on Tuesday, both of these matchups, whoever wins this matchup immediately goes into the playoffs, and the loser still has a shot at a playoff shot. They just have to play another play-in game on Friday against the winner on Wednesday's games. So on Tuesday, we in the Eastern Conference NBA play-in matchup, we have the Atlanta Hawks versus the Orlando Magic. Both of these teams actually just played each other their last regular season game of the season, and Atlanta actually pretty much dominated them. Now, I think these are very similar teams just because they have the firepower to be really good. They have some very solid superstar players, but they also just disappear and play like shit out of nowhere. So I think this is going to end up being a very good matchup between two equally matched teams. I'm leaning towards Orlando in this one just because Atlanta has been very meh this season, and Orlando has actually been pretty consistent for the most part. I mean, yeah, they're in the play-in, but I mean, at one point they were dominating their division. They were riding high for a good beginning of the couple of months of the season, and then it just got marred by injuries. And now that they got all a few of their guys, their key players back, I'm just leaning towards the Orlando Magic in that one. So I've got Orlando moving on to the playoffs, and Atlanta going on to Friday's matchup. Then the Western Conference NBA play-in matchup on Tuesday night is the Memphis Grizzlies versus the Golden State Warriors. Memphis, ever since they fired their coach, you know, I kind of felt like that was pretty much the nail in the coffin for their playoffs. Didn't think it was going to, you know, set them back from making the playoffs, but I definitely looked at that and go, now they're not winning a championship. They ain't got no shot in that. But they definitely do have a lot of talent, but unfortunately for them, they're going up against the Golden State Warriors, probably one of the most veteran-savvy teams in the league. Tons of championship pedigree. This team knows how to win in the playoffs, and they know how to keep it moving. They've got Steph Curry, who has been having an MVP-type year. I mean, nobody's really been talking about him for MVP. I mean, really, it's mostly because the Warriors haven't been that great this year. But I mean, technically, he's having one of the best seasons of his entire career, which says a lot. So in this matchup, I just can't pick against the Golden State Warriors. I've got the Golden State Warriors winning this one and moving on to the playoffs, and the Memphis Grizzlies losing, but moving on to the Friday matchup for a chance to get into the playoff. Then our Wednesday matchups. On the Eastern Conference side, we have the Miami Heat versus the Chicago Bulls. Miami Heat have been terrible all season long, but really terrible since the Jimmy Butler trade. And yes, they've kind of picked it up, but they have been a very, very terrible team this year, and I don't believe in a goddamn thing about them. Whereas the Chicago Bulls, they've actually been playing some of the best basketball in the league the last month and a half. They've been very, very consistent. They've beat good teams. They've been scoring a lot of points. They've been playing well on the defensive side of the ball. So in this matchup, it's an easy choice for me. I'm picking the Chicago Bulls easily to move on to the playoff, and then onto the Friday matchup. And then we have the on the Western Conference side, we have the Dallas Mavericks versus the Sacramento Kings. Two very similar teams, very inconsistent, not a lot going on. They tend to lose a lot. So this might end up being a good matchup. I kind of coin flipped this one, and I'm leaning towards the Sacramento Kings on this one. So I just went Sacramento Kings. But really, I feel like either team could win this one because they're both just terrible. And it doesn't matter if they win it because I don't think they're making the playoffs. I think they're going to lose in the play-in on the Friday matchup. So I do have Sacramento beating Dallas in the Wednesday night matchups. So then our Friday matchups for the final playoff spots, we have in the Eastern Conference the Chicago Bulls versus the Atlanta Hawks. As I said about Chicago, playing very consistent basketball, whereas the Atlanta Hawks, they're just meh. And so since Chicago's actually playing the better basketball, I'm sticking with Chicago to win this one and move on to the playoffs. And then in the Western Conference side of the play-in, we have the Sacramento Kings versus the Memphis Grizzlies. And I don't believe in Sacramento at all. They have had a garbage can season. And while Memphis has fired their coach, they've got a lot more talent, a lot more consistent players, a lot better players, and I just trust them more. So I'm going with the Memphis Grizzlies in that matchup to take the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. So moving on to my NBA playoff predictions and how I think this is going to pan out. So my first round matchups on the Western Conference side of here, I have the Memphis Grizzlies versus the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Golden State Warriors versus the Houston Rockets, the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Lakers, and the Los Angeles Clippers versus the Denver Nuggets. So in the first matchup between the Memphis Grizzlies versus the Oklahoma City Thunder, I just think Oklahoma City has been poised, primed, and ready for a playoff run. While I said I don't really trust them, I haven't trusted them in the regular season, I just haven't looked at them and been like, this is a championship-level team. I don't think they're getting knocked out in the first round. That's for damn sure, especially against this Memphis Grizzlies team. I kind of feel like Oklahoma City's going to be just ready to go for this one and going to have zero issues in this series as well. As a matter of fact, I had them sweeping this series. I don't have Memphis winning one game in this one. I've got Oklahoma City moving on easily. Then my next matchup, I have the Golden State Warriors versus the Houston Rockets. The Rockets, they're another team I've watched all season, and I'm like, do I believe in them? Not against the Golden State Warriors, I don't. And as a matter of fact, this is kind of what I know I said it on the show a couple of weeks ago when I was throwing out potential teams that the Warriors could end up facing in the first round and knocking out, because I just think the Warriors, they have the championship level pedigree. They know how to win. They know what it takes. And all their players are healthy, and they're playing really solid basketball right now, and they have Jimmy Butler as well. Whereas the Houston Rockets, very young, very well-coached team. They play great on the defensive side of the ball. They dominate the paint, but I'm sorry, this Golden State Warriors team to me is, I knew they were going to fuck somebody's day up in the first round, and Houston just happens to be that team. As a matter of fact, when before the weekend, when everything was still being worked out, there was a potential chance that the Lakers were going to be going up against the Warriors, and I was like, fuck. I mean, I know we could beat them, but I was also just like, oh, I don't want to face off against the Warriors in the first round. And thankfully, we don't have to face off against the Warriors in the first round, but Houston does. And I just don't think that's going to bode well for them. I think just the experience of the Warriors is going to overwhelm the Rockets. And I've got the Warriors moving on in five games. Then my next matchup in the Western Conference first round, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Los Angeles Lakers. The Timberwolves have actually been playing really solid basketball over the last couple of months here, and Anthony Edwards has been very consistent all season long. He's been playing at an MVP-type level. Rudy Gobert, it took him a minute to actually get going, but once he got going, he is back to Rudy Gobert, playing solid on the defensive side of the ball. And then, of course, you got Julius Randle, who's been that solid third guy that they've definitely needed. But the Lakers, their big three is even better and more consistent. And playoff LeBron, dude knows how to win in the postseason. And Luka is just coming off of his first NBA Finals. It was a loss, but he went on a huge playoff run last year. So it's going to be interesting to see what these two guys do with Austin Reeves and the rest of this Lakers team. But I actually think the Lakers are going to roll over the Timberwolves in this one. I've got them winning in five games simply because I just think it's going to be too much Luka, too much LeBron, and then you got Austin Reeves out there who's just going to add in another third wheel that you're not going to be able to guard all three of them, and I just think they're ready for a playoff run. So I've got my Lakers moving on in five games. And then the last Western Conference first round matchup I have is the Los Angeles Clippers versus the Denver Nuggets. I actually think this is going to be the best matchup in the Western Conference first round because it's the only one that I think is going to go the distance. I've got this one going 7 games because the Clippers, they are playing really good. Kawhi Leonard, he is playing. So there you go. That's a good thing. But also, the question is James Harden. James Harden always likes to disappear during the playoffs. Now, he did have a decent year last year in the playoffs, but, you know, Jimmy Butler's known for being playoff Jimmy, and, you know, Harden's known for being playoff Harden, and it's not the same type of inflection. It's like, ugh, playoff Harden is just terrible. Whereas playoff Jimmy usually takes over the series and wins, takes you to the NBA Finals. Harden has yet to do that. So I kind of feel like that's going to come into play here. But the funny thing is, on the opposite side of the court, we have Russell Westbrook, who's known for doing the exact same thing. But I just trust the Nuggets a bit more in this one simply because, you know, they also have the veteran experience. They've won the NBA Finals a couple years ago. And yes, they fired their coach. But I don't think that's going to affect them yet. I think they're going to be pushed to the brink for sure against the Clippers because the Clippers are no slouch at all. But the Nuggets, I just think their experience. I don't know if Murray, what his status is going to be for the entire series. I know he ended the regular season injured. It didn't look like it was going to potentially be a long-term injury, but at the same time, who the hell knows? So I'm not really sure of what his status is for the series, but they're definitely going to need him to win this series. But I'm just going with that this is going to be the typical Denver Nuggets who are going to step up with their veteran leadership. You've got Jokic, who ended the season averaging a triple-double. How about that? But I do think they're going to win this series in 7 games. So then in my Eastern Conference first-round matchups, I have the Chicago Bulls versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Orlando Magic versus the Boston Celtics, the Detroit Pistons versus the New York Knicks, and the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Indiana Pacers. So the first matchup, the Chicago Bulls versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think the Cavs they've been poised, primed, and ready for their playoff run as well for about the last month. They've been ready to go. And while the Chicago Bulls have been playing really solid basketball right now, I don't think they're going to be able to compete with the Cavaliers. I think the Cavaliers are going to easily win this series in 5 games. Then the Orlando Magic versus the Boston Celtics. I think it's the same thing. I think the Celtics, they've been ready to go. I mean, they've actually been playing probably the best basketball heading into the playoffs compared to every team right now, other than the Thunder. I guess the Thunder have probably been the best, but Boston's been right there, and these are the defending champs as well, so their playoff pedigree is absolutely going to come into play at some point, and the Orlando Magic are terrible. As a matter of fact, I'm going with Boston in 5 games, but I would not be shocked if we had a sweep in this one simply because Boston is probably going to be pretty suffocating for the Orlando Magic. I guess I just gave Orlando their one home win that they're going to get. Then the next matchup in the Eastern Conference first round, we have the Detroit Pistons versus the New York Knicks. I think this is going to be an excellent matchup. The Knicks, they got Brunson back, thankfully, so they're going to at least have him for the playoff run. Carl Anthony Towns, he's been playing very solid basketball himself. So we'll see what happens here. The Detroit Pistons have been probably the most surprising team in the NBA. They went from the worst team ever last year to now a playoff team. And as a matter of fact, for me personally, I actually trust them more than a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference who made the playoffs simply because they've been playing very consistent basketball from the jump. They've been dominating their division. They've been dominating the Eastern Conference. Cade Cunningham has been having a phenomenal year. They've had young guys step it up. They've been playing well on the defensive side of the ball. They've just been a very consistent, solid team. Now, I don't pick them to win it all, but I definitely think they're going to push every team that they end up facing in the playoffs, including the Knicks. Now, if the Knicks were coming into this playing better basketball, I actually think the Knicks are the better team. But since the Pistons have been more consistent, and I just trust them more, shockingly, I'm going with the Pistons in this one, but I do think it's going to go the distance. I've got the Pistons winning in 7 games. Then my last matchup in the Eastern Conference first round, I have the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Indiana Pacers. This is actually usually a very excellent matchup. These two teams have, they just always play each other well. So I'm expecting this to be a very solid series. Milwaukee is the weirdest fucking team, though. They are good, but they just crumble. They just fall apart. As a matter of fact, you know, they played the Pistons to end the regular season, and they were up like, God, I can't even remember. It was something like 20 points. They were up. They were just absolutely smashing the Pistons. And then all of a sudden, the Pistons push it into overtime. And the Bucks get the win. But there was no way you should have had this type of collapse. And they did. And that seems to be the consistent theme for the Bucks. So I wouldn't be shocked if something like that happens in this one. But the Indiana Pacers at the same time, I don't really trust them either. They've been slightly more consistent than the Bucks, but I don't know. I just don't really see them winning this one. So I have the Bucks winning in six games. But I just think these are two weird teams and either one could win it. And I'm just going with the Bucks because I think they're more talented and play better basketball. But I could see them totally shitting the bed in this one. Then in the Western Conference semifinals, my first matchup I have is the Golden State Warriors versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. And this is where I think the Golden State Warriors are going to hit the wall. Like I said, I think they're going to be a challenge for anybody they face. I think they'll be a challenge for Oklahoma City if this matchup ends up happening as well. But I just think Oklahoma City's the better team on the defensive side of the ball. SGA has been having an MVP year and just scoring like no other. They dominate the paint and they just are a very consistent, good team. Whereas the Warriors, they haven't been that consistent this year, but I definitely expect them to push him to the brink. I mean, you got Steph Curry, like I said, playing some of the best basketball he's played in his entire career, which says a lot. And then, of course, Jimmy Butler, who is phenomenal in the playoffs. And then, of course, Green is also having a good year as well. And he's definitely going to make some noise. He ain't going to be scared to go up against these young cats in Oklahoma City. As a matter of fact, he's going to be wanting to punch them in the nutsack like he likes to do to everybody. While I think they're going to push them to the brink, I still think the Thunder are going to get the better of them in this matchup. And I've got the Oklahoma City Thunder moving on in six games. Then my second Western Conference semifinals matchup is the Denver Nuggets versus the Los Angeles Lakers. And I think finally, the Lakers are going to get their revenge because the Nuggets have knocked us out of the playoffs the last couple of seasons. We just can't ever get past the Nuggets. And they kick our ass, too. It's not even like a close matchup. It's an ass-kicking. Now, thankfully, last year I actually did get to see them play in the playoffs in Los Angeles. And it was the one game that the Lakers won in the series. So I did get to see that. But the Nuggets have been the Lakers' Achilles heel over the last couple of years, but we didn't have Luka the Don in a Lakers uniform, and I'm super excited about this because I just kind of feel like LeBron and Luka are going to be an unstoppable force. It's going to be like one game LeBron takes over, the next game Luka takes over, the next game after that Reeves takes over. Just trust me. These guys are going to be playing great basketball down the playoff stretch, especially Luka. Not even just that he's pissed off because he was traded, but look at what he's coming off of. Last year, he had a fantastic year. He's coming off of taking his team to the NBA Finals, for Christ's sake. So don't think this dude's going to be a slouch during a playoff run, and we all know LeBron is no slouch ever at any point. So with that being said, though, I think the Lakers are finally going to get past the Denver Nuggets and win in six games. It's not going to be easy, of course, because, I mean, Jokic is not going to be an easy dude to stop. But I think the Nuggets, they will run out of steam against the Lakers. And finally, the Lakers will get over the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs. Moving on to my Eastern Conference semifinals matchups, I have the Detroit Pistons versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. I do think this will be a good matchup. I think it'll be a great defensive matchup. But the thing about to me is the Cavaliers have been the outstanding team in the Eastern Conference. And they've been legit. They've been playing great defensively. And I think that's what's been their edge. Yes, they have been fantastic on the offensive side of the ball. But defensively, that gives them an edge. And I think that's going to come into play in this one because, to me, the Pistons are a bit too young to really start making an extreme playoff run. who knows? Of course, they could get past them, but I just don't think it's going to be this time around. I think Cleveland's learned their lesson over the past couple of seasons. They've been feeling each other out. They finally put it together, and I think they will get pushed to the brink in this one for sure, but I do think they'll win this series in six games. And then my second Eastern Conference semifinals matchup is the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Boston Celtics. And I don't see any issues that the Celtics are going to have in this matchup because Milwaukee is inconsistent and the Celtics are too damn good. As a matter of fact, I don't think this one will be a close one. I've got the Celtics winning easily in five games. So my Western Conference finals matchup is the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. And here's where I said it, folks. I told you, there's been something about me when I'm watching this Oklahoma City Thunder team, and I'm like, I just don't see it. And now you're running into the buzzsaw that is the Los Angeles Lakers. With Luka the Don at the helm, just getting better with each and every game. LeBron James, old-ass 40-year-old. Well, guess what? The old-ass 40-year-old is just playing fantastic basketball. And then you got good old Austin Reeves out there, AR-17, playing fantastic basketball. And then just defensively, they're playing well. I just love what I'm seeing from this team. Now, Oklahoma City Thunder, they are not slouches. Do not overlook them. They're definitely going to push them to the brink. But I just think the Lakers are going to have too much offensive firepower for the Thunder. I also think the Lakers' defense is going to be a bit surprising for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I have the Los Angeles Lakers moving on to the NBA Finals and beating the Oklahoma City Thunder in seven games in the Western Conference Finals. My Eastern Conference Finals matchup is the Boston Celtics versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. As I said with the Thunder, gonna say the same thing with the Cavaliers. There hasn't been one point in this regular season where I'm like, do I see the Cavaliers hoisting this trophy? Yes, they're good. They are a damn good team. But then you look at the Boston Celtics. They are the defending champs. They are a damn good team. And I kind of feel like they've been very overlooked, especially for a team that ended up with 60 wins. I think 61, as a matter of fact, 61 regular season wins. But nobody was really like, oh, those Celtics, watch out for them, even though they're the defending champs. They've got Jason Tatum. Brown, he did get injured, but it looks like it's going to be not going to be a big issue. But in this matchup, I'm going with the veteran squad who knows how to do it. And I'm going with the Boston Celtics. Now, I think it's going to be a good series, but I think they're going to win in six. So I got us a good old-fashioned, old-school matchup for the NBA Finals. And that is my Los Angeles Lakers versus the Boston Celtics. Oh, you know, it happened in 2010, the last time. And then also happened, you know, the 2007-2008 season when the Lakers lost to the Celtics. But 2010 was a magical moment when the Kobe Bryant-led Lakers beat them in seven games. It is my favorite NBA Finals of all time. So we're getting us a solid matchup here. Good old school Lakers versus Celtics. But this time around, we got us Luka the Don. We got us Jason Tatum. We got us LeBron James. We got us Jaylen Brown. We got us Austin Reeves. We got us Porzingis. We got us a great matchup here. That is my NBA Finals, the Lakers versus Celtics. And if the NBA is listening, they are absolutely hoping for this because ratings will be great for the finals because it's Lakers-Celtics, of course. But I think this is going to be just like the 2010 one. A battle between two really good teams. I see the stars having their big games. Luka, Tatum, LeBron. I see them all having their solid games. I see it going seven. But just so you know, I'm a Los Angeles Lakers fan, so you best believe that since I got them going to the NBA Finals, you best believe that I'm picking the Los Angeles Lakers to win it all, bitches. Now, I know that's my fan bias, but come on, y'all. Luka, LeBron, Austin Reeves, the defense that they're playing, the scoring that they're a good-ass team. They're going to be real difficult for teams to stop. So, I got them winning it all, y'all. Trade for Luka in February, and we win us an NBA Finals. That's at least how I hope it plays out. Lakers versus Celtics, Lakers winning in seven. with Luka's revenge. Luka's revenge. He's going to have the game seven is going to be the Luka game. And he's just going to stand on the podium. He don't even got to say anything to the Mavericks. Just say, good to be back again in the NBA Finals and win it this time around. So, yep. KD drops NBA Finals winner. I've got the Los Angeles Lakers as the NBA Finals champion. So we'll see how it turns out. We got us a long way to go. It's only April and the NBA Finals don't start till June. But the play-in starts on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it is the NBA playoff push. One of my favorite times of the year, beginning with the play-ins. Like I said, I count the play-in as the playoffs because we're going to be seeing some great basketball. And I'm hoping it ends the way I predicted it. But I know they're going to be pushed to the brink. And I also wouldn't be shocked if the Lakers lose because they are very notorious for not playing consistent basketball. But, you know, like I said, Oklahoma City and Cleveland have not, I just don't see it. I have not seen it once in the regular season. I can usually look at a team and go, do I see them hoisting this trophy at some point in the at the end of the season? And I just haven't seen it. I just haven't seen it. But maybe they'll prove me wrong. But like I said, hopefully I am right because I've got the Los Angeles Lakers winning it all, bitches. All right, y'all, enjoy the NBA playoffs, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.